Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may be seated. So I don't know about you, but every year at Advent 4, I always feel like finally a Christmas text, right? The gospel lesson begins, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way." The birth of Jesus Christ. It's Christmas time, right? And I know it's Advent, right? And we do that every year in the church. We say, in Advent, we're trying to hold back Christmas. And Advent 1, 2, and 3 do that. You come to church and it's December and things are decorated. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited about Christmas. And in Advent 1, 2, and 3, all the readings try to stay away. They stay away from Christmas. The first reading of Advent 1 actually begins at the end of Jesus' life and the last couple weeks about John the Baptist. And I'm thinking, I'm with the kids on this one. I'm getting excited about Christmas. So gladly, Advent 4, finally, and the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. And I get it. Advent is the season of preparation, right? I understand. Advent is the season when we prepare for Christmas. We prepare our hearts for the message of the birth of the Savior. And every pastor knows, he says that Advent is a season of preparation. And when we say preparation, most people are thinking, I need to cook and shop and decorate the house. That's the preparation we're thinking of. And the church has been decorated for several weeks. This morning, all the poinsettias here that I am spending all weekend trying not to knock over. But here we are at Advent 4. And it's a wonderful time when, this is the message, God keeps his promises, right? We have a God who said, I am going to send a Messiah, and then he did. That's the beauty of Christmas. And here's the thing for us to know. We read the story, and we know it from beginning to end, right? For us, this has already taken place. I want to sort of be reminded of this morning. For the participants in it the first time, they didn't get to read the whole book and say, how does this turn out, right? Mary and Joseph lived this in real time, right? And they knew the Old Testament scriptures. They know God will send a Messiah. But imagine the difference when God sends an angel to your house and says, you know how I'm going to send the Messiah? Guess what, Mary? Born through you. That changes a little different, isn't it? I get it. God keeps his promises. God is going to send the Christ. Guess what, Mary? You're the mom. That's cool stuff, right? They lived in real time, not knowing exactly how is this all going to go. So that raises this question that I'd like us to think about this morning. Could Mary have said no? Have you ever thought about that? Could Mary have said no? God breaks in and says, Mary, I'm going to come into your life. I'm going to do my will through your life. She's not a robot, right? She's a young girl. She's 18 years old. Imagine that. An angel comes, you're betrothed, not married, still a virgin, and the angel says you're about to have a baby. What's going through your mind? What will my parents say? What will my fiancé say? That's a potent message, right? So I want us to ask, could Mary have said no? Here's a related question. I think this from time to time. Could Jesus have fallen into sin? Remember Matthew chapter 4, Satan comes to Jesus and attempts to get him to fall. It raises the question, could he? My answer is no, because it's against his divine nature, right? And you've probably heard, now and again, I've heard a preacher say, Jesus could have fallen, and they're trying to make the tension there in the text. But the reality is, you might want the tension, but I just think it's contrary to who Jesus is. Can Jesus fall? No. But I want us to get this. Mary isn't God, right? Mary's a teenage girl. Can she say no? I think the answer to that is she could have. Joseph thought no. Did you hear it in the text? Mary, his betrothed, is expecting a baby. He's not the father. and Matthew 1:19, and Joseph, being a just man, resolved to divorce her. That's a no, isn't it? Joseph, the plan of God is about to break into your life, and he says, I'm not up with that. All right? Now he'll get it right when the angel comes and explains it. So they did get it right. They could have said no, but Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. I want us to spend the next few minutes looking at what are some of the things about this young couple that makes them likely to have said yes. Here's the first one. They were both children of Israel. They were children of Israel. Our reading this morning is Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. So what comes before verse 18? Verses 1 to 17. Who here has read Matthew 1, 1 to 17? After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim. Do you remember that from your King James when it said begat? And Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud? Why the names? Do you know what it was? That's their history. The genealogy is there to say, Mary and Joseph, know who you are. Right? Know who you are in God. You weren't born yesterday. You have a history, right? You have parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and a history of where you've lived. And God's fingers are all over that, right? God was saying to them, you are children of Israel. In fact, the Bible is full of affirmations, right? The Bible is always affirming how God is with us. For instance, the Bible says many times, you are mine. Isn't that nice? You are mine. God says, I will be your God and you my people. He says, fear not, I am with you. He says, even if you go through the waters, I'm with you. He says, I will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Each of those are affirmations. Why are they in the Bible? So we know who we are, right? And he knows that our mind can run toward negative things. So we recall those affirmations. That's the first thing. They were children of Israel. The next thing is this. They were people of faith. Because here's the thing. I just emphasized the importance of the genealogy, but I want us to know this. There can be a problem with genealogy. Do you know what the problem of genealogy is? We can start to think, I don't have a spiritual life, but I'm sure I'm saved because my grandma did. Do you know that thought? People that are never in church, people have no connection to the life of God's people, and they think, my dad was a chairman of a board down at that church. A church that I drive by, a church that I used to be connected with, but my family are Christians, I'm a Christian. Genealogy says, yes, here's your history. But the reality is we're not supposed to trust just in the genealogy. John the Baptist said what? Don't say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Who saves? Whose faith saves us? Our own. Not my mother's faith. Not my grandmother's faith. The Bible says this, Joseph being a just man. It doesn't say Joseph's grandpa was a good guy. Joseph, being a just man, the angel says to Mary, greetings to you, favored one. To her, they're people of faith. Next thing is this, they practice their faith. It's not enough to have it just here, right? They put it into practice. I always love this passage. Joseph is thinking about divorcing her, and the angel comes and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son. You're going to call him Jesus. And verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he what? He did. Isn't that critical? He did. Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And he did it. And then after Jesus was born, later text, the angel comes and says, Joseph, the people in power went to kill your son and your wife. Take the child and his mother to Egypt. And guess what it says after that? And he did it. And once Herod died, the angel appears to them in Egypt, at which time Joseph is thinking, enough with the angels, right? And an angel appears to him and says, those who sought the child's life are dead. go back to Israel. And guess what he did? He did it. These days, you have heard people say, I'm spiritual, but not religious. You like that little one-liner, right? I'm spiritual, but not religious. That means I'm going to think about heavy things, but please, oh please, I don't want a God who would affect my life. I'll think lovely thoughts, but I don't want a God who places demands on my life. I'm spiritual but not religious is not a biblical faith. I would say this, Joseph and Mary are spiritual and religious. They believe and they do. The next subject, I want to bring it up just because it's in the text. I hope nobody feels weirded out by this, but Joseph and Mary practiced sexual purity. Right, the pastor said that at Christmas time? Yes, because the angel came to see a virgin. And when the angel says to her, Mary, you know how the Messiah is going to come? He's going to be born to you. What's the first thing she says? How can this be? Because I'm a virgin. And Joseph, when he hears that she's pregnant, thinks I'm not the dad because I'm a virgin. Yeah, that's in the text, right? Mary is a virgin because it's saying this is the Son of God, right? No man is involved. It's the Son of God. But it also demonstrates that they actually walked in sexual purity. Today, couples, while dating, will think, well, we've been dating for a good while. It's time to become sexually active. It's unscriptural, right? What if you're engaged? Joseph and Mary are betrothed, but you're not married, right? Yes, that's in the text. Let's be honest. Is this not one of the most difficult parts of the faith to practice? And we say people of faith will put the faith into practice. There's one of the hard parts, but this young couple lived as God would have them. Next thing is this, they trusted in the word of God. I've mentioned it already, Joseph is considering breaking off their marriage, and he doesn't do it. He's literally thinking about it when the angel says to him, Joseph, here's what's going on. That's the word from the Lord, right? God speaks into their situation. He's asked both of them, I need you to make a commitment to this plan. They say yes, because they believe. I love it, by the way, that the angel quotes the Old Testament, that our first lesson this morning, and then our third lesson, Matthew chapter 1, quotes it. The angel comes to Joseph and says, yeah, Mary is expecting the Messiah. And you know where I'm getting that from, Joseph? Isaiah 7, right? Isaiah 7. Joseph, does this happen every day? Of course it doesn't. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son. That virgin's name is Mary, your fiancée. Right? Can you imagine the angel applying the text so directly? It was a time of decision, right? Joseph and Mary, the work of the Lord is about to be done. And you guys are involved. It was a place of decision. And they got it right. In faith, they said yes. Here's why I mentioned the decision. We have decisions, don't we? We have decisions to make in our lives. And we don't want to make this mistake. We often think, I can live my life on my terms. I'll make the decisions, but when the big ones come, I'll ask for God. Don't we do that? Lord, I got all the little stuff. But Lord God, when the big test comes, that's when I'll get the right decision. Do you know how it really is? All those little ones, those are practice, aren't they? The little decisions are still the ones that we say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Which job do you want me to take? Which college do you want me to attend? Lord, find me a believing spouse. And then the trial and the big test comes. Then we'll understand that all of it was preparation, right? That's what we say. Advent is a season of preparation. Guess what? Everything is a season of preparation. Today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, those things prepare. Because we have a decision, don't we? Isn't that amazing that the God, the Almighty God of the universe, has said to you, you make the decision? I love what Mary said. She's 18 years old. The news is startling. How does she put it? May it be to me according to your word. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.